Wonderful. You know, when you compare man and God together, there's an obvious contrast. And we want to talk this morning based on the scripture that was read in your hearing. And we want to talk about the essential of life, and that is water. And you speak to anybody that you know about how important water is. Talk to anybody and how essential it is for life to exist. And you'll be speaking to somebody who agrees. I can't imagine anybody thinking that water is not important, from your neighbor to your mechanic to your doctor and even to the greatest of all scientists. We'll all agree that life cannot exist, period, end, without water. And there are many so-called scientists today who have been diligently and fervently with zeal searching the universe out there, trying to find some place out there that has water, claiming that that will be a place where life exists. And yet they have a struggle doing such. I mean, if you just take a glance at the internet, take a time and just look it up. You know, you'll read things like water on Mars contain perfect ingredients for life. And then again, you'll read another thing that says NASA confirms evidence that liquid water flows on Mars today. And then again, water found an inch beneath the Martian surface. Liquid water, lake revealed on Mars. And then scientists mapped water on Mars and found it buried. Isn't that interesting? Water on Mars. They say, what happened to the water on Mars? There's a lot of confusion when you read all these different articles because they contradict one another. My favorite is the article that's called Education on Mars 101. Water on Mars. Phoenix Mars mission. But then they go on to say that more than a billion years ago. Boy, they like to throw that number out there. Everything's a billions and billions of years ago. On the surface of Mars, it was covered with liquid, covered with water. And then they say all that water vapor was lost in space. Wow. Scientists have been trying to understand how and when exactly this might have happened. It's billions of years ago. Water just disappeared off. You know, one of the things that they talk about is the frigid atmosphere of Mars. And they say that the temperatures there are so cold that any water that was on Mars billions of years ago and evaporated because of that frigid temperature, it would have frozen in the air, creating frozen clouds of water. But there wasn't evidence that that ever happened. The orbiter's observations suggest that it could have escaped out into space much more quickly and easily than previous. And we talk about God, you know. There's no confusion there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and at verse 33 tells us that God is not the author of confusion. When we studied the book of Hebrews this morning, God is not the author of confusion. He tells us exactly how it is. And He doesn't contradict Himself like all of these. He doesn't. You think of God and the marvelous aspect of God, how great God is. And you know, you think of our earth and how tiny, tiny, tiny it is in the scheme of all the universe. And you think of our universe itself. This universe that we live in, the Milky Way. And you know that it's just one of millions and billions of solar systems out there. And it's so tiny. When you look at the Milky Way and you expand out into the universe that God created, it's massive. And we're just a speck in all that. But God cares about this speck. And we don't know anything about water anywhere else, but what we do know is that there is water here. In the text this morning will be based on chapter 4, verse 15, where the woman says, "Give me this water. Give me this water." It's the water of life that Jesus was talking about, the living water that Jesus talked about in verse 10. It's the water which when you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. And it will bring up into you, spring up an everlasting life. What an amazing thing Jesus is offering us. And God has shown many different times in many different ways how important water is. You know, scientifically speaking, water, our body is 3/4 water. Water is used in our physical bodies for digestion, for circulation, for respiratory or our respiratory system depends upon it. Our temperature control in our body depends upon it. Water is a function that removes toxins from our body. And God did all this. He just made us from the dust of the ground. And God made all these things work together perfectly. And you know, we can live for a time without food, but you can't go very long without water. Think of Hagar and Ishmael out there in that desert when their skins dried up and she put her son Ishmael under that bush and she didn't even want to look and see that son die of thirst. And yet God's eyes were upon them and God provided them water. Genesis chapter 1 or 21. Boy, it's just exciting how God provides for us everything we need. And one of those things in the text is living water. And we want to examine that, how God does these things. All throughout history, God has used water for His purpose. During the patriarchal age and the age of Noah, you know, God caused the flood. And the fish of the sea, all flesh perished except for Noah. The scripture tells us that God commanded Noah to build an ark, and when it was all said and done, and God had Noah and his family and all those animals into that ark, and God shut him in. The Lord shut him in. And the flood was upon the earth, and God used that water. Parting of the Red Sea. God used that to separate the sea and to free His people from slavery in Egypt, to cross over toward the promised land. He gave water from a rock twice. God is so powerful and God is so good. And He used water to the saving of those Israelites. He made bitter water sweet. Think about Nahum and his leprosy. 7 times he dipped in that Jordan River and he was cured of that leprosy. And when we think about this, all these great things, you know, we read the scripture that God required that priests wash themselves even. He said, they shall wash with water, lest they die. It was important. Water for cleansing, water for healing, water for drinking, water for salvation. Water. And this woman at that well there, she says to Jesus after His description of the living water, and she says, give me this water. This is what we should all desire. Remember in 1 Peter 3:20, the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, a few souls that is saved through water, the 8 souls that were saved through water, saved through water, those 8 souls. He describes further on that the antitype which now saves us, baptism. That's that immersion in water, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. And as we study this and we think about this, you know, Jesus Himself laid down the need for water when He taught Nicodemus, and we had studied that, John chapter 3, and at verse 5, when He said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about this living water that gives us springing up into eternal life at the end of verse 14. This is the water the woman says, give me to drink. It's the water we should all be saying, give me to drink. It's the word of life. It's God on this earth and His message to us about the salvation of our soul. It's the Holy Spirit that we drink in and consume that gives us that eternal life, the salvation of our souls through the blood of Jesus Christ. Philip taught the water was necessary in the book of Acts chapter 8 and at verse 36 when he had taught and preached Jesus, and that eunuch said, there is water. What hinders me from being baptized? When Jesus ascended up in heaven, what did he tell his disciples? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 and verse 16. The water of life, that living water, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. As we drink this in, we become more and more like God. It's truly amazing. Water. It's an element we all need. And God provides it in abundance. He does, you know, wherever life is, there's water. And that's because of God's care. He gives us water in dew, in rain, in ponds, springs, streams, rivers, seas. Wherever there's water, there is life. But Jesus isn't talking about physical life. He's talking about living water, spiritual life. You know, the prominent image reoccurs all throughout the book of the Bible, all from Genesis to Revelation. We should note that, you know, the Hebrew and this Samaritan woman would have understood this a little more than the average individual today, because they lived in a place in the Middle East where water was scarce. Water was very precious, and it was very much needed to be kept and stored. Rainfall in southern Israel, in the lower part of Israel, is 3.9 inches a year. Think about that. 3.9 inches a year. Rainfall in the northern part of Israel was actually 43 plus inches a year. But you got to remember that Israel is 60% desert. 60% desert. Where did that water go? You know, you compare that to Ohio. Ohio has 37.5 average inches of rainfall per year. And most anywhere you go in Ohio, what do you see? Can you drive down the freeway without going on an overpass over a river? Can you drive through Ohio without seeing a lake somewhere? A stream? No, we have water in abundance here. But they didn't have that. Ancient people of Israel, they survived by drinking stagnant water. They took whatever water they had and they would store it in vessels and put it under the earth during those dry, arid times. You know, and out of all this arose the Hebrewic concept, this mayakim. It refers to water that is formed from rain, flowing in a natural way, in a natural spring. It's water that doesn't get touched by man's hand. It was from God. It was miraculous. And it was carried not by human hands, not stored in cisterns, but it was what they referred to. That's what this word means, living water. And they associated that with God's presence with them. Psalm chapter 29 verse 10 tells us that the Lord sat enthroned at the flood. He was the King sitting on His throne. He was the one that had complete control over all things. He was that powerful one who could make it rain. You know, He sat on enthroned at the flood. Can refer to Moses or to Noah in the ark. How God controlled that water 40 days and 40 nights, the well springs of water that came up from the earth. And it also can refer to just the rain that eliminates a drought, that nourishes the ground and gives life. God is enthroned at the flood. Isn't that a wonderful imagery? And Jesus calls this spiritual water living water that comes down from above. And when we think about this spiritual water, it nourishes us. Revelation chapter 22, and at verse 1, you see what it says there? And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. This water that Jesus is promising is water that brings us into eternity. What a wonderful thing it is. Give me this water, she says. And it's interesting because as we think about this, you know, we think of spirituality. Water represents that which is nourishing our hearts. Think of what Jeremiah said. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. You see how he refers to God. God, me, the fountain of living water, that source of nourishment, that source of life coming from God. He says, they've forsaken me. They turned their backs on me. And they hewed out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Well, I'll tell you, you think of something else here in Jeremiah 17:13. Oh Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth. They, because why? Because they have forsaken me, the Lord, the fountain of living water. You know, our God from the very beginning was the source of life. In the beginning, God, what did He do? He created the heavens and the earth. He created the firmament and then he created dry land. He created the seas that separated the dry land from the dry land. And in those seas, all the creatures and the birds of the air. And eventually every living thing that walked upon the face, including man. Give me this living water. Give me this water, she says. She doesn't want to be a broken cistern. She doesn't want to be in a situation where we try to hew out a place in our hearts and fill that up with something that just cannot satisfy. That's what people do when you think of the spiritual idea of hewing out their own cisterns. So many people today do that. They are longing to fill the void that God purposely put in our hearts, in our soul, and something we need and yearn for, and they want to fill it up with all kinds of nonsense. Things that they can feel and do and touch with their own hands, like money. You know, we think about money. You think of the rich fool who built more and more barns, and then God said, "Ha, you fool, this day your life is required." Never able to enjoy the things that he built. Because he wasn't taking of the living water. He wasn't doing things that prepared him for eternity. He should have said, "Give me this water." And we also, you know, we spend an inordinate amount of time sometimes just with our health. Paul says bodily exercise profits nothing, but godliness is profitable for all things. Having the promise of life. That's what Paul said. That now is, and that which is to come. Living water. Give me this water. We go to the gym and exercise. We try to build up our bodies. And like Brother Andy mentioned in the service of communion this morning, you know, it's all vanity. Because our life is but a vapor. But we should be saying, give us this living water. Sure, we exercise, But if we're going to think about eternity, if we want to be in heaven with our great God and Savior, give me this living water. Allow me to partake of the Spirit of God. Allow me to be saved by the blood of Christ. Allow me to walk in the light as He is in the light. Allow me to have fellowship with Christ and with the other saints upon this earth. And then sometimes we try to fill it with personal achievements. You know, I think of Herod. He had it all. He was on his throne. He was in a position of great power. He had great authority. And the people praised him, but he was eaten by worms. A lot of good that did, right? He should have said, when Paul described Jesus, he should have said, "Give me this water." And sometimes just simply pleasures of life. And you think of Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, Jesus is talking about the seed of God's Word and how sometimes it just has no place in the heart of an individual. And why? Jesus says, because the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, they choke that seed. You know what chokes it? Because they're looking for the cares and the pleasures of life, and they don't say, "Give me this water, this living water." And because of that lack of water, the living water, that seed cannot grow. Right? I plant, Apollos waters, and God brings forth the increase. Give me this water. The fact is that when we seek anything other than Jesus to fill that void, it's vanity. It will always leave us unsatisfied. It'll always leave us yearning for something greater. And that something greater is the water of life. That living water that Jesus is offering all. Listen, Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the living water. And He only can provide all our needs spiritually. He can provide our needs physically. And the fact is that Jesus will give this water to anyone who asks. Every soul that seeks, every soul that knocks, or opens the door, every soul, the water will be given freely. And this water that He gives, it's the water that truly satisfies. It's the water that provides nourishment for life and for the soul. It is the water that will provide everlasting nourishment for life. Remember what He said. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. Give me that water. Give me that water. Give me Jesus. Well, I'll tell you, nobody in this room today, nobody on the outside of those doors, nobody in this community, nobody anywhere in the world ever needs to lack physically for water. Wherever there's water, there's life. It's hard in some places in this world to get water. They have to dig deep wells and they have to do all kinds of wonderful imagined things in order to get water to those people that need it. But anybody that needs this spiritual water, the water of life, the living water that Jesus has promised, no matter where you are in the world, it's available. And you can be baptized in the waters of baptism. And you begin your journey to everlasting life. You begin to be partakers of the water of life. The water that you receive so that you'll never thirst. And of course, we know never thirsting isn't physical. Even Jesus on the cross said, I thirst. But it's spiritual. Brother Calvin this morning mentioned Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 9. Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Heavily burdened and laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Boy, Jesus is offering us that living water through Him. And so it's important for us. It's important for us. Jesus will give that water to anybody who asks. In Matthew chapter 7 and at verse 7, He says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find it. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For whoever asks, it will be given. Whoever seeks, he will find. And whoever knocks, the door will be opened. And that door opens you up to that living water, Jesus Christ Himself, and the Word of God that nourishes us so that we will never thirst. In Matthew chapter 6 and at verse 33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Why? Because he shall be filled. Never thirst. And in Him, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Give me this water. Give me Jesus. Give me the Word of God. Give me that hope of heaven. And as we think more about water, we understand that water is refreshing. Think about David. In the 2 Samuel, in chapter 23, in verses 15 and 16, David said, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. He wanted that good water from Bethlehem. And you know what? Three of his mighty men left camp, and they went in there, and they snuck in, and they got water, and they brought it back to David. But the interesting thing is that David knew the preciousness of this water and how valuable this water is and how it was a great blessing and a gift from God. And instead of drinking that water, he drank the living water. Instead of drinking that physical water that those men snuck in and got for him at his request, he said to God, he was interested in living water. And you know what he did with that water? He poured it out on the ground as a sacrifice to God. Jesus praised those who refreshed the little ones with just a cup of cold water. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. David, he wrote, he makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. And when you study that word, he leads me beside the still waters, that still waters implies waters of rest. See, God will give us rest. He gives us hope. He gives us salvation through Jesus Christ, the living water. Boy, I'll tell you, that's exciting to me. And as if in a response to David's plea here in Psalm 63:1, O God, You are my God. Early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Dry and thirsty land physically, the deserts. Dry and thirsty land spiritually, a life without God. Without the living water. Give me this water. And for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass and reeds and rushes. Lead me beside the still waters. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Give me this water. That's what the woman said. Sir, Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord, the King of Kings, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. When we consume God's Word, we're consuming that water of life. And we won't thirst. We won't thirst for knowledge because all that pertains unto life and godliness is right here. All Scripture's written by the breath of God, by inspiration of God. It's good for doctrine, reproof, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The water of life will be by the grass with reeds and the rushes. Give me this water. In our text, Jesus told the woman of Samaria He was the source of this refreshing, living water. In John chapter 4 and at verse 10, He says, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. If you knew who it was. You know, we live in a world today where people, they know the name of Jesus, but they don't really know who He was. They don't understand what He taught. They're not taking in the living water. They're taking in the things that men teach. And they'll never be totally satisfied. In John chapter 4 and at verse 13, Jesus says to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Men today teach many different doctrines, many different denominations, all manner of teaching, and they're always teaching false doctrine. And people drink that in, but they will never be satisfied. And they will continue to thirst until they accept the word of truth. The living water. That spiritual water that in verse 14 Jesus said, she said, give me the water, and in verse 15 rather. Or verse 14, He says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. Sir, give me this water. And you know, it was immediately that the woman desired to drink of the living water. It's just like in the book of Acts when you read the accounts of conversion. Nobody said, well, I'm going to wait till tomorrow because the ones that did that were never converted. But they said in the very same hour they arose and were baptized, the very same day when that eunuch said, there is water, what hindereth me from being baptized? Philip says, well, give it a few days, think about it. They stopped the chariot right away. And Philip and the eunuch went down into that water and Philip baptized him. And he came up out of that water rejoicing. And Philip went on his way to continue to preach about Jesus. And the need for living water. Think about that. You know, David said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, cleanse me from my sin, purge me with a hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Spiritually speaking, that's exactly what the living water does. And we need to be a people who say, give me this water. In the New Testament, the Lord all through the Bible, the Lord keeps His promise. In the New Testament, the Lord kept His promise. He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, down from the glories of heaven to be born into a world of sin and sorrow, to open up the way to the fountain of life. And all those who love Him can be washed, cleansed, purified, and purged of their sins by partaking of this living water in Jesus Christ. God has ordained it, the water, to be the thing that cleanses us from our sins. That spiritual time when we submit to Him in baptism, obey His commands. It's not by works which we have done, but according to His will, His mercy. He saved us through the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Give me this water. It's a powerful and wonderful message. You know, Saul was commanded to rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. We know that one must be baptized to keep the commandments of the Lord. Galatians 5 and 6, 1 Corinthians 7 and 19. And we understand that a child of God is not developed by appeals. And I think this is really important. We are not developed by appeals. We're washed thoroughly. And we're purged. We're cleaned with full heart. True assurance. Our hearts sprinkled of an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. And we need to understand the child of God is not developed by arguments, by appeals from men. A child of God is simply one who's obeying the truth in the Spirit. The child of God is one who approves all things that are excellent, lives upright and godly, the one who casts off the works of darkness and puts on that full armor of God, the armor of light. That's what a child of God is. We put on the new man, created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The children of God are those who are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. The light of God, the water of God, the living water. How important are these things? Only the faithful are able to say along with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. And He loved me. Galatians chapter 2 and at verse 20. So the value of the Christian character isn't created by arguments of men. It can't be argued into your heart. This living water is not something that you can develop through a argument. It's something that's developed by opening your heart to the Word of God. Not opening your heart to the feelings of the Spirit, but opening your hearts to the Word of God. Keeping the commandments is what matters. 1 Corinthians 7:19. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter into the gates of the city. Revelation 22 and 14. What a wonderful thing it is when you ask, give me this living water, and then Jesus gives it. You know, as we come to a close, we want to think of the words of Jesus in Revelation 21 and verse 6. And He said to me, to you, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. That is, give me this water. Give me this water. You know, the question today here is, have you drank of the living water? You know, if you haven't, I guess the question is, why not? Why haven't you? Won't you today ask that same question that this woman at the well asked? Give me this water. Give me this living water. Won't you come and drink of that water today? Arise and be baptized. washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, being added to the body of Christ, and never thirsting again. And, you know, maybe you're suffering from a little dehydration. Maybe you've quit drinking the water. Maybe you've kind of gone astray. Jesus can rehydrate you today if you'll just repent. So, if you have need today, please, don't wait. You know, come forward while it is called today. If you do have need, please come forward and sit in one of these pews as we stand and as we sing.